This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Very interesting things to talk to you about this afternoon. I'd like to start with, hey, hey, we're the Monkees, but that may be a little too cryptic for some of you. We're about to celebrate a very important time of the year from a cultural perspective, but also from a culinary perspective, and I have three people here who are going to help me have that little celebration for you. Yes, we are talking cravings. Good afternoon. It is 5 minutes past one, 6 minutes past one on a Saturday afternoon. It's still a little gloomy outside, but I am going to brighten the next hour for you because we're coming up to a very important time of the year, just before we hit all of those food and wine and comedy and other sort of festivals that Melbourne does so well. There is a celebration that a significant portion of our population get involved with. I live in a neighbourhood surrounded by people who celebrate this time of the year. It is, of course, Lunar New Year. It is the Chinese New Year. It is also known as Tet in Vietnamese. And I have a couple of guests with me and another one joining me very shortly who are going to help us unpack the cultural significance and the culinary significance of the Lunar New Year. One of the guests you have met before, her name is Jerry Mai. She is from Phnom. Welcome back.
Hi.
It's good to... Hi. Jerry. Very stern.
Saturday afternoon, I should be sitting on a couch somewhere.
Yes, with a gin and tonic no less. Indeed. Also here from Easy Tiger in Smith Street, I think one of Melbourne's best Thai restaurants, bar none, Simon Hall. Simon, welcome.
Hi, welcome.
Come in a little bit closer to that microphone so we don't sound like we're talking in an outside dunny.
How's that?
It's very good. We haven't had you in before.
No.
So you're a cravings virgin.
I am a cravings virgin, yes.
Excellent. Absolutely. That's always good fun.
Happy to.
Let's talk a little bit before we go back to Phnom, because you're going to get really animated, and so I'm going to give you as much time as you need, Jerry.
It's my favourite time of year, what can
it
I say?
It is. That's where I'm going to get to. For those that are playing at home and don't know Easy Tiger, give us a little bit of a... Oh, as I belt the microphone around, a little bit of a pricey of the venue.
So Easy Tiger is is on Smith Street in Collingwood. It's a Thai-based cuisine, not particularly authentic is what we say. We don't claim much authenticity, although we do... sort of have a lot of influences from that sort of David Thompson style of food,
yes.
Some more traditional curries and banquet
style food. He wins a multitude of awards for it.
Yeah, he does. And I've got to say, I love the food. Our kind of ethos is about sharing and food coming out for the table and everyone experiencing food in a celebration style environment. So,
which is, from my understanding, we're a pair of farangs here, my understanding is that that's how food is celebrated in most of Southeast Asia,
yeah.
Is people get together to eat as a celebration and to share, and there's fellowship, Jerry.
It's a gathering of families and friends at a table. So, you know, everybody's lives is always so busy, but dinner time is one of the biggest meals of the day. And so it's all your family, be it going out for celebrations with families, friends, or sitting at home at the dinner table. I think it's one of the rarest times when I was living at home that when I sat at a dinner table is, you know, to come together, to talk, to talk about what's happened, to catch up, to, you know, even yell at each other even a bit.
I'm surrounded by people from various Asian backgrounds. So I've got neighbours on either side who are Vietnamese. I have Malaysian neighbours across the road. I have another second-generation Asian Australian across the road as well. So our street at this
time
of
the
year. It is very loud, but it goes nuts at this time of the year. And I love it. It's really exciting. Let's get back to us being a couple of whorungs. So it's interesting in putting this program together. You're like, I know nothing about Thai culture. I am almost a Luddite in that regard. But I think there's a really nice angle that you're doing something that you're deeply passionate about. Mm. The cuisine you're deeply passionate about, and yet the cultural significance that goes with it is a little bit sort of left of centre for you.
Well, yeah, we took the approach that I grew up in Melbourne and, you know, lived in the city and for most of my early adult life. And, you know, the cultural experience you have of eating out in Melbourne is really diverse and dominated by sort of Asian culture. As far as that was certainly the food that attracted me. And in traveling, that was my experience as well. And, you know, when we decided to open a Thai restaurant, my business partner is passionate about the Thai food, like so passionate.
And another whorung.
Yeah, he's another whorung. Yeah, and in fact, whorung was my favourite name for the restaurant, but thankfully I was talked out of it, I think, you know. I just thought it'd be pretty funny
to
have.
That would have been a great name.
Is it a literal translation of white devil?
I think, yeah, white devil, that's right. You know, and I mean, they exist. What's fascinating about it, that particular sentiment exists in every culture. It exists, yes. Exists in Australian culture as well to an extent, you know. So,
what do Vietnamese call us?
Do I want a literal translation? Because some people might call me and abuse me afterwards.
That's quite all right. We can take all this abuse that people can
But then the Chinese is a guailo, which is also a white ghost.
Mm. And so, gaijin from Japanese is...
Yeah. Yes. So there's something ghostly about you white people.
Well, hello, darling. Look at the colour of my skin, for heaven's sake. It's like alabaster white. Simon, as you were.
But no, I feel like it's very... I mean, you know, I think the what we've done in the restaurant is kind of... assimilate all the ideas that we love about our eating experiences, and they are, you know, Australian, which is not roast beef, you know. it's a lot more culturally diverse, thankfully, than that. So and that's what we kind of put in the restaurant, and with a good backbone of authentic food from a style, you know, we're going to that area and just saying, yep, it's what we do. It's our version of it, you know.
It's our interpretation, and that's what food is. I am a chef, and so I sort of share that same thing. Let's come back to this in just a moment. You're here on a Saturday afternoon here on Cravings on Joy 94.9, 0427 Joy 949 if you would like to send a text message. If you have a question, indeed, about Lunar New Year from any of our soon-to-be three guests, you can email onair@joy.org.au or you can interact with us on Twitter if you are a Twitterer, Cravings Joy 949.
Hi, I'm Anna De Silva, and you're listening to Cravings with Pete Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. We are celebrating Lunar New Year. We are a little bit early. It doesn't kick off until the 8th of February, 8 being a very auspicious number in... is it the same in Vietnamese as in China?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Mm. So I think it's Sino... something.
It's infinity means prosperity.
Mm, it doesn't end.
Yeah. Mm. And so we've already started. Celebrations already start from the last couple of weeks. The Vietnamese community hold a lot of lunar street festivals or Tet festivals.
Yep.
I think they've had St. Aubyn last week. Last Sunday was in Richmond on Victoria Street. This Sunday is in Footscray. Then
I'll be busy marching in Pride tomorrow.
I'll see you there. I'll be there. I'll bring the glitter.
Excellent. Maybe we'll call back via Footscray and get some
we need to be fed.
Food. Yeah, yeah, indeed.
And then next Sunday, it's in Springvale.
Which is a huge Vietnamese community, isn't it?
It is a very, very big community.
That voice you can hear belongs to Jerry Meyer. She's from Phonom. And Jerry, this is your favourite time of the year.
It is my favourite time of year. I think.
Why so?
Well, I compare it. My partner is an Australian. So for her.
You're not going to call her on air what you called her earlier off
No,
air?
She'd probably be listening. So I don't want to sleep on the couch tonight. She is, and I compare it to, you know, Christmas. Christmas for her is very big. It's massive because it's all about getting together with her family, catching up with all her friends, old high school friends, current friends. But most importantly, 30 of her family members come together on Christmas Day.
Right.
So it's a big, big day for them, or for us. So for me, the Tet Festival is a comparison to, I think, a Western Christmas, because all our family gets together. We have lunches and dinners over, because it spans over 3 days.
Yep.
But also in Vietnam, it spans over 2 weeks.
Right.
So they have 2 weeks off. The whole city shuts down. All the major cities shut down, and they all go back to the country.
Because it's a time of journey. Almost a pilgrimage to go back
home.
And very different to our culture where we get our 4 weeks annual leave every year.
Yeah. That is the only time really they get time off.
Exactly.
So then we go to temple, and, you know, it's getting together, going to temple with the family, washing away the bad luck or everything from the previous year and starting afresh and starting new. And normally a lot of Vietnamese and Chinese people over the first 3 days of Tet or the Lunar Festival are vegans.
Right.
Because, excuse me, the theory is if you harm nothing, if you don't harm anything or hurt or kill anything in the first three days, it's good luck and you're at peace.
Right.
You know, you're being very peaceful at the beginning of the year and hopefully it carries all the way to the end. But normally in hospitality you get to December and it's just all gone out the window.
Yes. I was going to say this part of Tet's not my favourite part, the first 3 days, because I'm a horrid carnivore. It's from a culinary point of view. So I'm going to having Jason Lau from the Flower Drum join us in a little while. And China, in China, certainly there are foods like fish and dumplings and spring rolls that are important foods around the Lunar New Year. Mm. Is it the same with Vietnamese culture?
Yeah, well, the New Year is all about prosperity and long life and happiness. So, you know, throughout Chinese and Vietnamese culture, because we've been colonized for them for nearly 1,000 years, yeah. We carry a lot of the tradition in their culture. So, long life noodles, you know,
longevity noodles.
You don't cut them. You cook the whole long noodles. You do stir fries with it. More so in Vietnamese culture, we have a god who is called the stove god. And so
I'm liking this god and the Roman god of wine, Bacchus.
they're
really the only ones I need.
The time that you need them mostly takes a break. So on New Year's Eve, all the gods get sent back to heaven.
Right.
And there's obviously a king in heaven, and they can report from the household for the year, how the house has been struggling or if they've been doing well. And so on New Year's Eve, he gets sent home. He gets sent home to heaven. So my mother or most Vietnamese people will have to cook a certain amount of food, so they don't really have to be physically cooking, so to speak. They can reheat, but they can't cook.
Yep.
So we have a lot of, you know, takaw is a braised pork belly and egg, which is in every household will have a very, very, very big pot of it. And then, you know, all the usual celebrations of a nice pig, a suckling pig, because, again, it's about prosperity. You start the year well and the whole year will be very well.
And is there a chance for redemption if you've been naughty in the previous year? Is that 3 days a little chance for redemption?
Pretty much.
So you have to extend it out for a week, maybe.
Well, you know, if you extend it
Jerry,
out,
maybe
the
two.
The most, like, well, how did you know? I was just about to say, but I'm such a big carnivore, but, you know, I used to be able to do it for a week to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It makes up for my whole year. It's getting to the stage now that I'm such a carnivore, I can only survive for 3 days.
Right.
And especially with pork belly cooking in my kitchen all the time, it's very hard to say, no, I don't want a piece of pork belly.
Well, I don't know how anyone could say, no, I don't want a piece of pork belly, because I think that's denying yourself one of the great pleasures
in
life. Indeed. Yeah,
definitely. Indeed. Especially if it's a suckling pig too.
I know. I love a bit of suckling pig.
Yeah.
So there is that little chance for redemption, and it's a very good start. We are now joined, I think, by, if nothing else, by one of the best dressed men in the business, bar none.
I believe so.
We're all slopping around in our Saturday best, and Jason walks in a suit. Mate, good to see you.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
Here from the Flower Drum. We are celebrating Lunar New Year today. So,
yes.
And it's a gorgeous, glorious, gloomy Saturday afternoon, but I wanted to get a bit of an insight into the cultural and culinary significance of Lunar New Year and what it means to various various cultures. And interestingly, Simon's here. He's as white as the driven snow and cooks some – oh, not cooks. Do you cook?
Thankfully not in the restaurant. Thankfully for everyone, really.
So he runs a restaurant that is Thai, and I know that the Thais do also celebrate a form of Lunar New Year, as do the Koreans – I think Cambodia and Laos as well. You guys might be able to inform me a little bit because I'm not very bright. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Let's look at it from your family's perspective. Mm-hmm. When this time of year comes around, do you all take time to prepare, or is it something that just happens?
Well, our family in particular, because my dad's in the kitchen, I'm on the floor, and yes, we don't really get too much sort of family time. But for us, over the last 15 years I've done the restaurant, it's a lot of preparation, from a restaurant side of things. And that for us, that's Chinese New Year. But for everyone else, it's very much a family time, much akin to, say, Christmas or for everyone else. But for us, it's very much family time. The dishes are skewed towards sort of family sharing. There's a lot of significance with a lot of things.
Fish, what you eat. Dumplings, and spring rolls?
Not quite.
Oh, my research on the internet is letting me down.
Oh, well, some of that stuff is incorporated, but there's a lot of stuff like dried oysters, back in the day when you could probably get sea moss, things like pork bellies, vegetables, lots of green lettuce and all that sort of stuff for livelihood and healthiness, fish, heaps of fish, all these things all have some sort of significance to it, and it's always good to have those dishes to have a good start to the year.
So Jerry's just been talking about this is her favourite time of the year, bar none, and sort of talking about the enjoyment and that fellowship with family and stuff. You don't really get to do that because you're at work. And this is, I assume, from a commercial point of view, a very busy time of the year for you.
These 2 days, especially 2 days, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, are probably the two biggest days of the year for us. We celebrate it later. We'll probably do it a week later.
A month celebration, yeah, with the new year.
Yeah, it carries on for about 15 days. Yeah. Back in Hong Kong.
Simon, we need one of these celebrations of some description.
Yeah.
Get rid of Australia Day and let's just join in with the Lunar New Year.
Yeah, we've got Labor Day. We need something
else. Needs to go longer. Can you remember back to when you were a kid and this time of the year came around? What was it like as a child? Was it sort of like looking forward to Christmas?
Probably not as much. Dad was working.
Right.
So, again, even back then, it was very much sort of
like... The drum has been going for a very long time.
Someone has to keep it going.
Yeah.
Red packets.
So, red packets.
Red packets. It's my favourite. You get a red packet as a child. Mm-hmm. As long as you're a child, somehow when you turn about 15, they disappear. I felt so ripped off. It was not getting a Christmas present.
What is the significance of the red packet? It's money, isn't it?
Yeah,
so it's basically a red packet. Anything red is good for the Lunar New Year, the Tet or Chinese New Year, and in there there's money in it. So you're supposed to go and wish someone good health, good wealth, good luck, good fortune in the business if they have that. So you do this whole wish for them, and you get a red packet in return. I used to be a gun at it, man. I used to kill it.
This would make your pocket money for the year.
Oh, yeah, and more. And that watch I always wanted, the Nintendo I always wanted, or, a new game or two. It would sort me out. Wouldn't stop me from nagging mum. So mum's packet was always bigger.
Right.
Stops the nagging.
Yep.
So ever since about 15, 16, it sort of just disappears.
Yeah, well, technically speaking, you give them out when you're married. And when you do get married, you stop receiving as well.
Yeah. So this still not married, mate.
Is this about to happen for you? Are you about to stop receiving red packets?
Yes, I am.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Actually, since Jason's getting married soon,
yes,
it's actually good for us to go and wish him a happy new year.
Right.
And guess what we get in return?
Look, I'd be happy
except for you, you're married.
Yeah, I'd be happy with a plate of Peking.
No, see, you
legally,
and me,
I'm not.
We're done. We're
legally,
sorted.
I'm not.
Well, there you go.
I'd be happy with a plate
forever.
Of Peking duck.
Legally, you and I will never be, so we can do this forever.
You are here on Cravings here on Joy 94.9. We're celebrating the Lunar New Year with Jerry Meyer, Jason Lauer, and Simon Hall. There will be more, and we will make sense, and we might even stop talking over one another.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are listening to Joy 94.9. Thank you, Gabriel Gatte. Now, I know how to say, is it Gung Hai Phat Choi?
Yes, well said.
How do I say it in Vietnamese? Because my neighbours keep trying to tell me and I keep forgetting.
Chúc mừng năm mới.
Okay, I'm going to have to practice that one in my own time, I think. Do you know how to do a Happy New Year in Thai?
I really don't. I'm
You're such a
farang,
aren't you?
I am terrible. I'm white right through, man.
So I'm so curious as to where this Thai this desire to do Thai as a restaurant came from?
Well, my business partner had only ever cooked Asian food, really. A lot of Chinese. He worked for Christine Manfield for a long time in Sydney.
God, I love Chrissy.
Yeah, totally. And then he did some Japanese for a few years and finally found his way to, he's a Sydney boy, to a restaurant in Clovelly called Oceanic Thai, which is run by a brilliant chef, one of David Thompson's former chefs. And he had literally a year's course in how to cook that sort of Thai food, making everything from scratch and, you know, every really, really smelly fermented dish you could possibly imagine. And he loved it. He just totally loved it. And then we met up a few years later and, you know, we sort of decided we were going to do something and it was like there was only one way to go. And
it's Thai.
I've travelled quite a lot through Southeast Asia, so, look, I was totally very happy and excited about it.
Sort of kind of, you two are going to answer this question for me. I've travelled a bit in Vietnam, not as much in China. Does that make me qualified to cook Vietnamese or Chinese food?
I've eaten a lot of Chinese food and I've eaten a lot of Vietnamese food. I probably do it twice a week. Does that make me qualified?
Oh. I am not going to comment. You go, you go, Jason. You go.
Oh, you beat me to it.
I'll jump in because I said this is why I was scared to come on because it's like, well, hey, look, we've got, you know, traditionally, very few qualifications. But my mum's Hungarian and, she teaches people Hungarian dishes and they go and cook them very well. And I think the idea about Australian cuisine and food here is that it's not traditional. It's distorted and taken from, I mean, you can't get the same ingredients. So, you know, we continually have to adapt anyway for what we read to be the traditional ingredients and to things that are going to work better. So
right, and there's going to be some furious name-dropping about to happen. I was at a breakfast with Nigella last week, and she was talking about how for many years England has influenced us, but she comes over here to be influenced by us now. She hadn't been able to find white soy or coconut vinegar in the UK, and so she's come over here and she's discovered these two ingredients. And she's, oh, wow, blown her head off. And I think that sort of goes to your point that you're making, that there is an ability to learn something without necessarily being born into it, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are lots and lots of, if we take Thai food, lots of Thai restaurants in Melbourne that do what they do their family cooking, and or they do food that they've learnt, or they do food that they've, a bit of both, you know. They're traditionally trained chefs, and they then adapt a cuisine style based on what they've been taught. So they're expounding in a Western, you know, in a European chef tradition, but with the techniques that they've learned from someone, you know. So it's just...
Oh, yeah. Jerry's ready to jump in. She's
jump in.
Go.
No, I totally agree. I mean, a Western chef can learn how to do Thai food, for example. The person with passion,
a Vietnamese person can learn to do Western food.
Yes, and I learned. I mean, one of my very first jobs was I was a pizza pasta cook. Who would have thought that?
Mm.
But I find that people of Western background who understand the techniques and the love and have the passion behind it will carry that through in their dishes better than a person who takes it for granted.
Well, David Thompson is a fine example of that.
He's the biggest farang you can find.
Yeah, he is. Silly old queen most of the time as well.
I've worked for him, so, you know.
Yes, and then, you know, his innate understanding of the balance.
Yes, but he's lived in that country. Mm. He's consumed in it. Mm. From making a curry, the person who understands the curry and has love and passion in making a curry will use a mortar and pestle or, at best, a robo.
Mm.
Or nowadays, we won't talk about that very loudly.
No, we won't because I don't care for them.
No.
I'm on the record, I don't like one. No. I don't want one.
But then, you know, you've got a Thai chef who is of Thai culture and Thai background and spent the whole life eating Thai food is using tin curry paste. I hope I didn't say that. No one's going to. Don't call me.
Don't get offended. If you do, on Twitter, you can find her at.
No.
No, that is our position. You know, we do. Yeah. Everything is prepped fresh every day, thrown out every night. We prep all our food to order, and you know, and so we keep to our own self-regulated kind of
things. And there's some authenticity in that.
Yeah, for us, it's our own authenticity.
Did you ever want to cook, or were you always going to run the front of house?
Yeah, I had a go at the kitchen. I think so.
How did that go for you for that short amount of time?
Yeah, it was about a year of my life. It's, I think I greatly appreciate my time on the floor every day.
There's a very strong family heritage in your family of cooking.
Yes.
How did you miss out on the gene?
Well, my grandpa was a chef, so my dad followed him. My dad's two brothers are now in the kitchen as well. Well, to be quite honest, I wasn't even going to be in the restaurant game.
What were you going to do?
I was studying marketing and finance.
He's going to be a model, I reckon.
So, I reckon. I mean, look at... He's going to wear a cheek in that. Look at that.
That's amazing.
Sorry. We'll move away.
We're happy here.
We'll stop embarrassing you now.
Thank
you.
Nice to have someone local.
I was studying marketing and finance at the time, actually. So, and then, Dad took over the business after Gilbert, and the rest is history. So just pushed me around all the departments and, you know, downstairs, upstairs, behind the bar, da-da-da. And so, I guess they had better plans for me outside rather than in the kitchen.
And I'm sure there's some finance skills that he appreciates.
Everything sort of comes into play at one stage or another. Yeah.
You know how to use a calculator?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
That's really all
Learn
you need.
Learn how to type too. That's a good thing.
Yes, that's always very helpful, especially when you're using spreadsheets. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. We are talking about the Lunar New Year. Flowers are important. I also read. Now, again, my research may well be from the wrong places, but looking back, I've sort of seen that flowers have an important part to play in celebration? You're not so sure, Jerry?
Not too sure.
It has a huge part in the celebration. So because, like, you look at the marigolds in Vietnamese, yes. I mean, it's yang ho,
yeah,
which means long life. And gladioli are huge as well. It's for the long, how long they are, the extension of your life,
right.
And the flowers for them. So you
and yet
see,
we use them for funerals.
Yeah, see how funny that is?
Odd.
Yeah. So during that time, you'll find in Victoria Street and Footscray and any of the Vietnamese community will have a lot of
those
gladiolis. And
and
marigolds and heaps of potted marigolds as well and kumquats actually as a fruit.
Okay.
Is good prosperity too.
Yeah, well, kumquats
too,
we do have a lot of, yeah.
It's got it's orange. It's like gold. Everything reflects back to money and life. It really does. Every
this is
the
why
food.
These bog Irish Catholics sitting in front of you, sitting there going, God, we missed out.
We got everything else. We're happy with that.
Yes. Well, I think the food celebration is important because we were talking about gathering people and having that chance to sit and talk about the year, the week, the day. Do you sit down at the restaurant with your family at all? And
well, the staff are family to a degree, so yep. We sit down as a whole group, as a collective, about a week after, and just have a massive, massive meal. You know, suckling
they
pigs
have a
and
wicked,
all that sort of
wicked staff New Year's Eve dinner. I reckon. I reckon I only try and get a stage there over the next couple of weeks. I've seen how big that kitchen is. Surely I can hide in the corner and chop some veggies and no one will notice. I know how to clean spring onions.
Yeah. Most welcome to
like
most
nobody's
welcome
business.
So you're going to go and do a stage. I don't even think I could do the pot washing. I'm a bit crap at that as well. I am a qualified chef. I'm sure I could find something.
We can clean the spring onions together, mate. It's a two-man job,
chop
surely.
Onions.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go through a lot of that.
Let's see.
Just don't ask me to do anything too technical because I'll miserably fail. I want to sort of move away from the traditions. Do you have your own? Obviously, Jason, it's probably been a bit more difficult for you, but do you have your own family traditions that are slightly outside what everybody else does?
Not really, I don't think, because, I mean, I spend New Year's Eve at my mother's house for dinner, and that's just a direct family, and the relatives come over the next few days.
So this will be on the 7th of February?
Yes. And then I leave the house before midnight. I'm not allowed to leave the house after midnight, but it means that I'm always away from home and will never be home. So I have to leave before midnight and go
or
to temple.
Or stay the night?
No, I just go to temple. No. She lives in Springvale, mate.
Or go to temple. What?
And then we go to temple and then I'm not allowed back.
Right.
Until the next day. And the first person that's in the house has to be in agreement with their zodiac sign, with my mum and my dad's. Then they are then invited into the house the first thing the next morning.
So you're a snake. I think Simon worked out you're a rabbit. What's your...
I'm a snake too.
You're a snake.
Oh, hello.
Surrounded by snakes and rabbits. See, this is my year, so I'm a monkey.
Yep.
Yeah.
So as we come into the year of the monkey, what can I look forward to as a monkey?
I think for everyone, a monkey's meant to be a more fun year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Last year being ram or whatever you want to call it, it's
those stubborn people.
Very stubborn. Yeah. It's a stubborn year. It's the rough year. Yeah.
But the thing is, you can't make big decisions in your year.
How come?
Make big life decisions.
Oh, I think I've done enough of those.
I think
last
you did that last
months.
Year already. Yeah, yeah, so you're yeah. sorted. You're done.
Excellent.
The biggest decision you've got to worry about is maybe where to go on holidays this year.
Yeah,
that's my biggest decision
we're going
this
to the
year.
US.
Oh, there you go. Just wait for the currency to go back up.
Oh, a little bit. We'll do it anyway. We're going over there to get married legally.
Oh, really? Mm. That's fantastic.
Because we can't do it here.
No, but then it doesn't get recognised here.
It will get recognised here once we're back.
Will it?
Well, they changed the legislation and all of a sudden there's a in the state of Victoria, and we're getting completely off track and talking about nothing to do with food. State of Victoria, the government currently has legislation in the parliament to recognise marriages solemnised overseas. And following what happened in South Australia sort of a week and a half ago, it's highly likely that South Australia will move very quickly.
Oh, really?
To recognise
so
overseas
marriages.
So I'm going
to Vietnam, get married and come back.
Yeah.
There
if you
go.
Do that. We could do it in Dalesford like all the other lesbians do.
I think all the other lesbians have beaten me to it. There's nothing left.
Oh, I'm sure there is. I'll talk to you about it somewhere off air. Where was I going with all of that?
So,
yes, what I can do this year. So, Jason, what would you advise monkeys they should be doing this year?
Enjoy the year. Enjoy the year. Have a bit of fun.
Excellent.
I think it was rough for everyone, so have a bit of fun.
Well, it's 2015, there's so many people walking around with their faces hanging on the ground going, God, that was the most difficult year.
That was a hard year.
Was it difficult for everybody?
Yeah, it was a hard year.
Pretty hard.
I wonder was why it? So. Is there something in the moon cycle that made us all a bit grumpy for the year?
I don't know what was, but I'm glad to see it gone. I'm super happy to see it done and dusted, especially the last 3 months of the year. That's why I'm really. That's why I get really excited around.
But you had a big year.
That's why I'm happy to finish. I'm happy it's finished. I have breathing room again. I actually get to sleep.
Right, and you weren't doing that beforehand.
I wasn't doing very much of that before.
And my old farang mate over here, sitting there nodding furiously.
Yeah,
so
totally.
15 was a bad year for you as well.
Just a rough year, just hard. You know, politics makes a massive difference to the business. You know, people come in, talk about politics, they don't enjoy themselves.
How much did getting rid of Tony Abbott make a difference? Did you notice that in I noticed in people's moods. So once Turnbull arrived, it was sort of like, Jesus, the Messiah's arrived. We can all sort of breathe again and smile maybe. Does that have an effect on business?
For us, it lit a little bit. You know, we deal with a lot of business orientated clients, and at least they had a direction. They had somewhere to go. They knew where the policies were sort of heading towards. So the optimism was there. And when that happens, you get the brokers, the real estate agents, the bankers, and whatever else.
We can spend again.
Exactly. So at least they know what they're doing. So.
And we've got, we're in Fitzroy Collingwood, so, it's, I think the lefties were a little bit happier.
I was going to say, the political feelings in your neighbourhood might be slightly more lurching to the left.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So the chat was very free and easy, and everyone was quite happy. The levity was noticeable, I think, immediately.
It was supposed to be a boost in our confidence. And does that mean that people are shopping more?
People are shopping more. People are out. People, there's more people willing to spend a bit more money. Rather than just going into the shop, buying what they need and then leaving straight away.
Or buying it all online because they're too depressed to leave the house.
No, there was actually a huge turnaround around October, November that people actually started going out shopping again, which was
it's interesting how politics has an effect on the way people eat.
It definitely does, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Spending, people going shopping, people going out for dinner. Mm. It definitely does. Especially when the budget comes out. It's really...
Oh, God, we hate that.
I remember when Tony Abbott was coming in and the whole Labor-Liberal switch, everyone was kind of going, please just get this done with. And after that, that was a big jump.
So the change in government to a Liberal government?
Yeah.
Interesting. And then they didn't last very long, did it?
No, it didn't.
You're on Cravings here on Joy 94.9. You can tweet to cravingsjoy949. Keep that very easy for you. You can email cravings@joy.org.au, or if you want to email us right this minute, onair@joy.org.au. You can phone 1300-JOY-949, or you can send a text to 0427-JOY-949 if you want to take part in this discussion. You are here on Cravings on Joy 94.9, a gloomy Saturday afternoon, the day before Pride. We'll be back shortly with more.
Hi, I'm Manny Fellel, and you are with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9. Singing, put anybody down.
We've got something to say. We did have to play that because, of course, we are the Monkees. Those of us born in 1992, 1980, 1968, 1956, 1944, and if you're still born in 1932 and you're still living, well done, because you're all Monkees, and we are going into the year of the Monkey. It is the Lunar New Year. We have been speaking with Jason Liu from, how to pronounce it for me?
Louis.
From the Flower Drum. Jerry Myers here from Phonom with two stores currently. When's the third coming? She nods. And Simon Hall is here from Easy Tiger. He's our ring-in. He's our interesting choice of guest for the conversation. For those that don't know, tell us a little bit about Phonom.
Phonom is a Vietnamese street eats, taking great examples of street food in Vietnam, putting into a really nice quick service paced venue. We have two stores. We have one in the lower ground at Emporium. And our new store we opened last year is at 567 Collins Street,
which servicing is the Southern Cross Station. End, yes.
Servicing the business end. Emporium is in a shopping centre. We get business. It's quite a nice little feel, little place there, actually. And we focus a lot on paddock to plate. Mm-hmm. So for a quick service or a takeaway, in simple forms, a takeaway place, we have about 80% of our products are paddock to plate, free range. Mm-hmm. We deal directly with a lot of our farmers. And we try and take as much, for example, our beef farmer from Warrior to Beef, we take as much of their...
lovely Lizette Nell and
Steve. Yeah. So we take a lot of their trimmings, otherwise would go...
Thrown out.
We take it into our stock.
Yep.
We use Milawa chicken, beautiful, awesome product, with a little creek from the Yarrow Valley as well.
Where's your pork come from?
Our pork is from, at the moment, Valencia pork, which is not Berkshire or anything. It's just a white sow pig.
Mm-hmm.
It's been free range in just outside of Melbourne.
Excellent.
So we try to keep about 80% or more whenever we can, paddock to plate. And I really believe, I think it's a good spot, good place to start, where people can decide where, the biggest question is, can I afford free range? And the answer we're giving to people is yes, you can.
Yes, indeed.
And yes, you deserve it.
Does that make the cost of your banh mi slightly more than what I'm going to buy on Bridge Road in Richmond?
100%. Because
100% more?
No, not 100% more, but 100%. It is definitely going to be more sensitive because...
you're using better product.
Yeah, our mayo is organic eggs from Milawa. Our pate is chicken liver from Milawa chickens. And then the free-range pork or chicken or whatever else that may go in the roll. But I think it's a far better role.
Yeah.
And they'll probably chase me down now when I go down there. Hey, you're going to be in trouble, mate.
Don't walk down Bridge Road or Victoria Street anymore. Ever again. For God's sake, don't go to Footscray. They'll hound you.
But it's free range, you know, whereas you're just getting caged eggs or caged chicken or caged liver. That's the difference.
Or commercially made mayonnaise, which
exactly.
does happen to me on occasion as well.
Yeah.
Is that the same with you guys at Easy Tiger? So for those, again, playing at home, give them a bit of a... idea about the style of food.
Yeah, so it's Thai-based food, banquet style. So everything comes out together. We have street food bites. That's our entree menu is street food, and you know, you get a couple of those each, and everything, as I said, it's made fresh every day from start to finish. The mangs come out all together. We have beautiful Wagyu from Cher as well, and you know, we try to find the best producers we can that are local, and so you're cutting down on miles, and it means increases freshness and all that sort of thing.
So this is ethical, it's sustainable.
Yeah, that's right, and we follow it through for our wine list, where all our wines are single vineyard, so we have an idea about we want the wines to be from one block, and they're mostly from independent Victorian producers, because I like a wine list that, and a beer list that when you go to Hobart, they're local wines and beers. You know, that's, for me, that's exciting. So
exactly. Sorry, I don't want to have you asleep over there, Jace. For those who haven't had their Flower Drum experience, is it fair to say it's fine dining Cantonese?
Yes. That's what we've done for the last 40-odd years of the restaurant.
It's a Melbourne institution.
Yeah, we're trying to keep it that way.
Yes.
We deal mainly in Cantonese food.
Yep.
Gilbert, when he first started the restaurants, probably had grander plans and what was there in the dining scene back in the day. So, you know, he sort of saw Chinese food, Cantonese food in a real sort of a Western style serving and setting. And it sort of progressed from there, really.
And is it still very much a Western setting?
Setting, I
know, but yeah. This is for the people playing at home.
Setting in a way that the way it's served, the way it's plated. If you traditionally Chinese food has always been sort of just bang in the middle, banquet style. You get all the flavors all at once. But Gilbert was really strong on each dish on its merits and serving it out in a sort of banquet style, degustation style. And that's what we're still doing today.
I remember going to Flower Drum. My very first experience, I was 20. Mm. And I talked about it, I reckon, for 3 years because I thought I was so sophisticated.
I was about 20, 20, 22, maybe.
You're a lot younger than I am, dear.
We worked it out. It's not that much.
Well, our experience of, again, you know, the white devil, the white ghost, our experience of Chinese food was anything that had a half a can of crushed pineapple in it could be called sweet and sour. And my mother used to make this thing called chow mein, and I swear, my mother, I've been talking about this for years, she was the worst cook known to mankind. She would take minced meat, a packet of chicken noodle soup, some cabbage and some rice, maybe some carrots if she had them, put them in the pressure cooker, cook it up for I don't know how long, a week, and feed it to us, and she would call it chow mein. Now, my experience of food, chow mein is nothing like that mincemeat slop that we were fed as children. And then she'd put it on toast. Because in our house, if it was put on toast or had an egg on it, it was getting a little bit gourmet.
She's a cultural leader, I think.
I don't even think that letter in the CWA cooking was so bad. So that was our experience of Chinese. So, of course, when I went to the Flower Drum for the first time, I was just like, my little palate was, my mind was blown.
Mm.
And I'm sure that you're still blowing minds now.
We're trying our best to. I mean, the thing about Cantonese food in particular, it's all about the delicacy of the flavours and the freshness of the ingredients. And, being sort of that end of China, we do get a lot of, we're very seafood-based.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a, you know, it's always interesting to sort of, you know, people who kind of, I suppose, have preconceived ideas of what Chinese food should be, could be, some may call it bland, some call it delicate.
But Chinese food is like saying European food, or like saying Asian food, because there's the differences in cuisine all the way through China, from north to south, are remarkable, as they are in Vietnam.
As they are in every Southeast Asian country. I mean, if you look at Thailand, from Chiang Mai down to south to Phuket or so, the food is totally different.
But it's the same in Italy.
It's in every country, you know, because different regions, different produce, different availabilities.
Climate.
The food is totally different.
And what's local and what's traditional. Stand by for the dropping of another name. Ding, ding. Massimo Vettura was here in the studio last year, and he actually dropped the F-bomb in front of spaghetti bolognese, because spaghetti bolognese doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't.
Spaghetti is from the north. Mm. Bologna is in the south.
Yeah.
Never the twain shall meet. There is no such thing in Italy as spaghetti. Maybe it's done with fettuccine exactly.
Yeah.
You know, mincemeat and packet spaghetti. That's why he was swearing. And I'll stop dropping names now. That's two for the show. I think I've done enough.
I fall off my chair twice. That's enough.
You are here on Cravings here on Joy 94.9. We're going to have a quick another quick little break, and then we're coming back to say goodbye.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now, joy.org.au.
I do have spring rolls in my head. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. We're having little discussions off air that you're not a part of, and I'm very sorry about that. We are laughing here in this studio because I think Jerry and I have made a decision that we're going for Lunar New Year.
A stage?
Yeah.
We're going to do a stage?
No, we've worked it out. We're going for dinner.
Oh, okay.
We'll just peel the spring onions at the table and pretend we're working. Now, this is the time of the show that we get to do the little plugs. So we'll start with you. For those who haven't been to Flower Drum, where is it? How can they get in touch with you? Are you on the interwebs?
Yes, we're at 17 Market Lane, just in the city. Website's www.flowerdrum.melbourne. You can book online there.
Oh, you've gotten very fancy and gone .melbourne, no .com for you.
Yes.
Oh,
that's brilliant.
Well, it is a Melbourne institution. I think it's brilliant as well.
Yeah.
I should change my own website.
You should. What would it be?
DylanPete.melbourne.
Yeah, so you can get in touch there and or call at the restaurant, 03-9662-3655.
Excellent. And do you have something on for Lunar New Year if people are listening and think, I've got to go there?
Yeah, we do run some specific Chinese New Year menus and ingredients, such as what I said before, the dried oysters and all that sort of stuff, which generally isn't on, and also suckling pig platters and et cetera, et cetera.
And some room for the white ghosts?
Yeah.
Excellent. Simon, you're coming as well.
Totally.
Tell us about Easy Tiger, where we'll find it, and your website.
So we're at 96 Smith Street in Collingwood, and our website is www.easytiger.co. We've also got a little strange end, yeah.
You know, we don't have to use the www anymore because nobody can say it? No, I'm just, that's something I learned some years ago. It's just something.com.au, and even when you type it, it works as well. It's fantastic. Because I love the Jerry.
Fernom, we're at the Lower Ground Emporium and at 567 Collins Street. It's fernom.com.au.
And you spell fur?
Phonom. And we've got a banquet dinner for February the 12th to celebrate the Tert Festival, and we've got dragon dancing and everything.
God, dragon dancing.
Dragon dancing? They wouldn't let me bring firecrackers in. There's some insurance issue.
What is it? Somebody explain
about
the firecrackers. My dog has a week of just hiding under the chair because he does not cope with all of the crackers all of the time. What is it?
Scares away the bad spirits.
Oh, is that what they're for?
Mm. And the lions and the dragons are to bless the house or the business. Yeah. So every year we always have a dragon. And since I'm bringing a dragon in, we're putting a five-course dinner on.
Excellent. So, have you got dancing dragons or dancing?
Yeah, we do
dragon
for,
dancing
for both the New Year's Eve night and the New Year's Day, and then we do the business one on the Sunday afternoon when Chinatown gets shut down for the whole Chinese New Year thing.
Excellent, guys! Thank you for coming in and sharing your knowledge and for sharing your lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
It's been great fun and a really good learning experience. So, Gong Hai Fat Choi.
Gong Hai Fat Choi.
I don't know how to say it in Thai, and you can say it in Vietnamese.
Chúc mừng năm mới.
I'll learn that, I promise. This has been Cravings here on Joy 94.9. I have been Pete Dillon. I will be back with you next Saturday. Until then, keep yourselves nice and bon appetit.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.